Our lesson for today is the lesson of an unanswered prayer. And I've been thinking about this for a little while, and I had a story that I kind of liked that would go along with this. And this is a story about when I was younger. Now, when I was younger, I loved anything with wheels, anything that could ride, four-wheelers, bikes, trucks, cars, anything, tractors. And on the way home from Brookhaven one day, me and Daddy are riding in the truck, and we pass the Polaris place right there on the edge of Brookhaven. And we stop, and we pull into this Polaris place, and we get out, and we look at one of their big fancy buggies they have out front. This thing was expensive, but it was nice. It was a big one. And we looked at it for a little bit, and I should have known by the look on Daddy's face and the look on that price tag that we weren't getting that buggy. I should have known that already. However, there was a glimmer of hope. And I went home, and I was just sure we were going to get it. And I went home, I don't know how old I was, but I prayed that we got that buggy. I did. All night, for probably an hour and a half, I sat there and just talked to God about that buggy. Now, God didn't care about that buggy, but we wound up not getting the buggy, which should have been seen beforehand. But in not answering that prayer, I learned a lesson here. First of all, I learned a lesson that you should look for obvious things. But I also learned that there's a value in working. There's a value in working for something and earning it. After that, I don't know, like I said, I don't remember how old I was, but I did go out and work, and I worked with Pawpaw, and I worked on other little farms around and yard stuff, and I saved up the money and bought my own four-wheeler. And by doing that, I learned the value of having something. I learned that to get to have something you really wanted and appreciated, you needed to go out and earn it. And also, I was probably not anywhere close to mature enough for that vehicle. That probably would have been a terrible idea. I also learned some patience through that. Maybe you should just wait a little bit, grow some more, and become more well-equipped for something before you jump into it. Now, I understand that story is a little bit silly, but that was the beginning of this lesson. That's where I started from. And it got me thinking, what other lessons could be learned from unanswered prayers? And so I got some examples from the Bible of people who prayed for something or asked God for something and it didn't come. Whether God explained it to them in the time or not, it just didn't come. And to start that off, we want to start in Jonah. So if you have your books out, you can turn to Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to read the first three verses to get a little background. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, of that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now God comes to Jonah and tells him, "I need you to go to Nineveh to preach to these people so that they can be saved." And Jonah doesn't want to do it. And it doesn't specifically talk about him praying here, but he runs. He just runs away from it. And so in doing so, he's kind of asking for this to not happen. He just doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He doesn't think the people will change. And he wants to leave. Of course, we know the story of Jonah where he runs. He gets on a ship. The ship winds up throwing him off from a thing. A fish swallows him, spits him back up on land. Now, he does wind up going to Nineveh. And he does talk to these people about, he tells them what God told him to say. And these people wind up repenting. They do. They turn away from their evils. And God doesn't have to bring down his wrath on this city. Now, after this, Jonah wanted them to suffer. He did not think it was right for them to just be free from what it was. He wanted them to be not forgiven for the sins. He wanted God to burn up the city and kill all the people. And he gets angry because of it, that God does it. And he gets real angry. He gets so angry over the thing that he thinks it were better for him to die. He asked God to take his life away from him. And God does not take his life away from him because it's a lesson. He learned a lesson about anger, and the lesson travels on to us today. We can take that lesson. And so some of these things... And compassion. He learns about compassion for the people because God brought him a little gourd during the day to cover him from the sun, and then the gourd dies, and then Jonah gets real upset that the gourd had to die. And God tells him that he had more compassion and more care for this gourd than he did for the entire city of souls that he just saved. And so some of the things that we got from that unanswered prayer was the salvation of Nineveh, because he didn't want to go. He didn't want to save the people. But he went to Nineveh and they changed, and he did save those people. And another lesson to learn from this is compassion. Because he asked the Lord just to kill him, just to take his life away from him. Don't let him be here anymore. He just didn't appreciate it. He was so angry. And the Lord didn't take his life because he needed to learn this about compassion. And so did we today. And so that lesson carries on. And it also wasn't God's will for either of those, for him to not go to Nineveh or for him to die there. It just wasn't God's will. And sometimes, a lot of times, that winds up being the case when we get an unanswered prayer, is it's just not God's will at the time. Our next story is about King David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. Now Daniel, he had an affair with a lady that was married. She got pregnant and he got scared and sent her husband away to war, and he was killed. Now after this, the prophet Nathan comes to David and tells him that he has made a bad decision and that he's going to suffer from this. And he tells him that this child is going to die. And so what David decides to do is he's going to pray that the child does not die. And that's where we pick up here in verse 15. It says, "And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted, and went in and lay all night upon the ground. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread unto them. And it came to pass that on the seventh day the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead?" David was a king that God favored, and he prayed for 7 days, fasting and laying on the ground. I don't know about y'all, but that is serious praying, for a whole week just laying on the ground and not eating. And still the child died. Now, if prayer could have saved that child, you would think that would have done it. However, the child died, and that was because God told him that it would happen, and he was trying to pray against God's will here. He knew the child was going to die, and it was a punishment for David's actions. And so the lessons we can take from that is that sometimes we have to take the results of our own actions. That's a lesson to be learned in itself, so that the action doesn't repeat itself, so we fully feel the results of what we've done. And once again, it was not God's will for the child to live, and so it would not change. Now our next lesson, our next example is Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in mine infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and in my reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so Paul here has a problem. He calls it a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Something's bothering him. He has maybe a physical ailment, maybe a spiritual something, but something hurts him. And he asks God three times to take this away. And God does not take it away, but he does give him his reasoning here. He said that through this weakness, he's made stronger. It gave him more. He talks about it, lest he should be exalted, to bring him down and to give him strength through this. And then in verse 10 it says that he learned through this to take pleasures in his infirmities and reproaches and persecutions. So through this thorn in the flesh, through this lesson he learned from it, he was able to learn to take pleasure and understand what he gets from the persecutions. And we know that Paul had many persecutions in his life, many hard times. And so it was better for Paul to learn this now through this thorn in the flesh than it was to fix it for him. Maybe he wouldn't be ready for the next persecution if this one had just been taken away. And so Paul, through this, learned to rejoice through these problems. And our final example is, of course, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're going to read that from Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 38. Let's start there. Matthew 26, I'm sorry. And so Jesus here knows that soon following he'll be crucified. He knows the people are going to come get him. And he comes here and he brings his disciples, sets them down, and goes off into the garden to pray. And so in verse 38 he said, Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and finding them sleeping, said unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went and prayed again. Went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And so Jesus here knows that what's coming. He knows it's not going to be fun. He knows it's going to be painful and hard. And he comes to God and he prays three times that if it be his will, if there's any possible way, could this cup pass from him? Could he not have to do this? Could he not have to go through this suffering? But Jesus knows the answer. He knows that this is the way that salvation comes to all men. He knew that that was God's will and it had to be done. And of course, that was the biggest lesson from this, is it was God's will. He was doing it for us. He was doing it so that all of us could have salvation. And he went through with that sacrifice. Alright, so some of the lessons that we've learned from these unanswered prayers is that just because we don't see the results we wanted, or it doesn't come in the time that we wanted, or how we wanted it, Just because it doesn't go our way, it doesn't mean that God didn't hear our prayer. It doesn't mean that He doesn't care. It doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong. Sometimes it's just not God's will for something to be done, or sometimes it's not time for it. Sometimes we just needed a little bit of tweaking. We just didn't have it quite right. But God knows what's right for us. God loves us, and He wants what's best for us. And so, what's best for us is that His will is done in all things. And He will take care of us. And that's our lesson for this morning. The lessons to learn from an unanswered prayer. If anybody has anything that the church can help you with, you need the prayers of